kind of stopped abruptly a moment ago. Somebody else got a testimony. Praise God for his goodness. All right, then we'll get started tonight. John chapter number 8. I'm going to turn this on. John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. Are you pleasing God with your life? Wow, that sounds pretty hot there. Are you pleasing God with your life? John chapter number 8 and verse number 28. We began reading there this morning and took our text out of verse number 29. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am He, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. And he said, For I do always those things that please him." This morning I was reading in Psalm, I didn't mention, but this week, I was reading in Psalm 147 when God kind of laid this on my heart. It kind of challenged me to meditate on this thought of, does my life please God? Sometimes I want my life to be pleasing to my wife. I want to please her. Sometimes I want to please people. I want to please our church family. I want to do things for you guys to please you, to make you happy, so that you'd think well of me as your pastor. And I do those things, but I wonder how concerned am I about pleasing God? About pleasing God. Listen, we know God loves us. I mentioned this morning, you don't have to do anything to earn His love. He loves us. I don't know why, but He does. Nothing will change that. But there are things, according to God's Word, that we can do that will please God. And so that was the message this morning, pleasing God. My first point that I gave, and I'll just get right into the outline, the thought kind of preaches itself, amen? But the number one, we said, we're going through five things, and I added another one, amen? So six things we're going to look at. Six things we can do that will please our Heavenly Father. We went, first of all, to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. We said, faith pleases God. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. When the Bible says without faith that it's impossible to please Him, then we understand that by faith we can please Him. Faith pleases God. We said A under Roman number 1, faith that produces salvation pleases God. Faith that produces salvation pleases God. Letter B under number 1, faith that perceives separation pleases God. When an individual recognizes, and he has to do this by faith, it doesn't come naturally nor of the world. It comes strictly out of God's holy word and the working of the Holy Spirit of the Lord in the believer, recognizing that God's children should look different from the world. And faith that perceives separation pleases God. Look in 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. And we'll read in verse number 3. The Bible says, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles." He said there was a way we lived in the past, when we were led by our old flesh, when we were led by our carnal, unsaved nature, and we did the things that the rest of the world did, the way of the Gentiles. He said, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Now, verse number 4, he says, "Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." They reckon these believers were being made fun of because something had happened in them and they did not do the things they used to do. They began to separate themselves from how they used to be. Man, it grieves me today that Christians, they don't want to be identified as Christians. They want to look like the world and not come under any sort of persecution for their faith, but that's not the way the Bible teaches we ought to be. And the individual that recognizes what I just said will be someone who's exercising faith that perceives separation. That pleases God. That pleases God. Because you are recognizing that it's not about your comforts. It's not about your conveniences. It's not about trying to be cool or fit in. It's about conviction and commitment to the God that saved your soul. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. He tells us as His children. Living a separated life, faith that perceives separation pleases God. See, underneath Roman numeral 1, faith that procures sanctification pleases God. Faith that gets a hold of the importance and the value of living a sanctified life, that pleases God. When we start talking about a sanctification, we're talking about that decision to not only outwardly separate from the world, but inwardly separate ourselves unto God. We truly understand that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Sanctification. We walk in the Spirit. This is to live a sanctified life is to fully focus on a genuine walking in the Spirit of God. And when we do this, number one, under C, it is to have fellowship to the Savior. We mimic Him, put on Christ. Do the things that Christ did. We follow His example. What He did, we try to mimic. Whether it be doing the will of God, whether it be separating from sin, whether it be obedient to His word. We follow the Savior. Secondly, we have fellowship with our Father. John chapter number 1, First John chapter number 1. John the disciple said that our fellowship. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father. And His desire was that we had fellowship with the Father as well. When we have this sanctification, it includes fellowship of the Savior, fellowship with the Father, and thirdly, a fullness of His Holy Spirit. Fullness of His Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, that sounds like a sanctified life. Notice we have in these few verses the Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Giving thanks always, verse 20, for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith pleases God. Faith that produces salvation. Faith that perceives separation. Faith that procures sanctification. And letter D, faith that promotes service to our God. Faith that promotes service to our God. This kind of faith defines our motives. Why? Because when we really get tied into the fact that we are to be servants, following the example of our Savior, it is no longer money that we live for, but the Master. I'm no longer focused on my will, but thine be done. My focus becomes no longer on gold, but my God. They all work together during this campaign, amen? It's no longer self-comforts, but my motive is soul conversions. My motive is not babying my flesh, but is bearing fruit unto God. It's all a part of faith that promotes service to my Lord. We said, number one, how to please God? Number one, faith pleases God. Roman numeral 2. Faithfulness pleases God. Faithfulness pleases God. Faithfulness. You know, there's a difference between having faith and being faithful. Faithfulness, it involves commitment. It involves a decision that something is right to do, and you bring your body into subjection, and you are faithful to what God has led you to do. Faithfulness pleases God. This is an attribute that all Christians can excel in. The Bible teaches us that it's required among stewards that a man be found, moreover, it's required among stewards that a man be found faithful. It's an attribute all Christians can excel in, but many choose not to. A lot of times we set our level, we set our compass of faithfulness based on what everybody else does. For instance, we'd say, no one would look down on me if I just missed Wednesday night services. No one would. But if you're able to be here and you don't, what does that say to your faithfulness to God? You may say, listen, no one would look down on me if I just come to church whenever it was convenient for me to do so. But what does that say to being faithful to your God? Faithfulness pleases God. In Romans chapter number 12, go ahead and turn there. Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. You know what your body is? That's this stuff right here. Your flesh, your body, not your spirit, not your mind, not your intentions, not your want-tos. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. What is a sacrifice? Man, if I had an animal and I was going to sacrifice it, if we go back to the Old Testament economy, I had a ram and I'm going to take that thing and I'm going to offer that thing as a sacrifice. I take that and I give it over for them to do with what they're supposed to do, whether it be whether it's the scapegoat or if it's the one that would be put to death. And when we offer our bodies a sacrifice, we put ourselves on the altar of God, giving ourselves to Him. When you do that, you'll know what I'm talking about when it comes to faithfulness. You're not your own, for you're bought with a price. He said to present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, and now the next word, and it's in there twice, acceptable. That word acceptable is also translated well-pleasing. Faithfulness pleases God. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, well-pleasing will of God. Faithfulness pleases God. I love Romans chapter number 12. It challenges our, it reminds us and then it challenges us concerning our faithfulness to what God has called us all to do. Being faithful to God pleases Him. If we are to become this type of believer, then it's going to take a steadfast determination to recognize what God would have me do and stop allowing the flesh to talk us out of it. Do it. Do what you know is right. To stay faithful. Faithful, look in verse number 5. Faithful no matter what the Bible tells us, no matter the many. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, and so forth. But what I wanted to point out is the many, the brethren. Sometimes we know God's Word commands us to love one another, but sometimes we don't like one another. I wonder how many people back away from their faithfulness they change their mind concerning being faithful because of the many, because they've got some sort of a beef with a brother or sister. They got some strife or some issue. We're all in this thing together. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, and issues are going to come up. It's impossible, but that offenses will, they're going to be there. It's how we work through those things that will make us stronger. Amen. But the many, if we're to be faithful with God in His service, then we're going to have to do it regardless of the many, the brothers, the relationships. And you have to come to church. Listen, a Longview Baptist church member, you need to get to the point where you say, nobody's going to run me off. I'm not going to allow it. Nobody. Because the devil will challenge that. And if you don't have that determination, it's just a matter of time before you allow somebody to run you off. But if we're going to be faithful, we're going to have to do it no matter the many. Number two, second here, letter B underneath this, no matter the ministry. The ministry. In verse number 7, the Bible says, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. And that means be faithful, like they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. When you have a ministry and God's given you something to do, you're to be faithful in that ministry. And to stay at it. If you've determined that God's laid that on your heart, you get in that thing and stop backing out. That is not faithfulness. That is not faithfulness. The Bible says, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Ministry. How many ministries have you dropped out of? How many ministries have you dropped out of? That's not faithfulness. Faithfulness pleases God. Usually people drop out of a ministry. Many enter into a form of ministry lacking the understanding that it requires faithfulness. You're going to go through times where you love what you're doing. You're going to go through times where you know you feel like it's just going to destroy you in ministry. Welcome to the ministry. Better get used to that. Better get used to that. You young men that feel like God's got His hand on you concerning ministry and getting involved in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you better understand something. You're going to be up there preaching somewhere, and you're going to be trying to walk with God and have the Spirit of the Lord on you, and you're going to preach to a people that hate your guts. And you're going to know it. And you still got to walk in the Spirit. Faithfulness. Well, where you're at right now, you learn to do that. It'll not be that big of a deal whenever you get to that place where God has you to go. Remember, if you've walked with a footman and they've wearied thee, how canst thou contend with the horses? Usually when the new, they get out of ministry, usually when the new wears off, when it becomes inconvenient, or when it costs too much. So if we're going to be faithful, if we're going to exercise faithfulness, we're going to have to be faithful no matter the many. No matter the ministry, no matter the money. No matter the money. Romans chapter 12, verse number 13, the Bible says, distributing to the necessity of the saints and given to hospitality. But to be faithful no matter the money. And then letter D, we're going to have to be faithful no matter how mean others may be to us. Verses 14 through 21, the Bible says, bless them which persecute you. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. I'm sorry, let me back up. Verse 14, I left the phrase out. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. I bet somebody said, man, it's funny he left that part out. No, anyway. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Amen. People read that, if it be possible, and they say, that's my out right there. It's just not possible. Just not possible to live peaceably with that person. Truth of the matter is, we know that it is possible. It is possible. Only by pride cometh contention. And if there's a humbling going on, you can live peaceably. And let God fight those battles for you, as we're fixing to read. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, verse 19, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. My goodness, what a big league Christianity. Overcome evil with good. Faithfulness. Faithfulness pleases God. He said that it is acceptable, twice in those two verses, well-pleasing to Him. Roman numeral 3, fruitfulness pleases God. Fruitfulness pleases God. Being fruitful as a child of God. Sometimes we question, okay, what does it mean being fruitful? Well, we know there are the fruits of the Spirit. Those things should abound in your life. But being fruitful means to, it speaks of reproducing yourself. Having children, spiritual offspring, children. Being fruitful. Being fruitful pleases God. Are you being fruitful? Look in Colossians chapter number 1. In Colossians chapter number 1, or just listen. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 10, the Bible says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. All right? So there's things that he's going to tell us here. He says, worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And what's the very next two words? Being fruitful. When we walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, He tells us very plainly and specifically that that's going to include being fruitful. As a Christian, being fruitful, bearing fruit. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. I know that's a unfamiliar term to a lot of people in this 2011 year in the land in which we live. But the Bible says if a person is considered wise when they learn to win souls. When they learn to win souls. Being fruitful pleases God. We know that John chapter number 15, the Bible says there in verse number 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you what? Can't get away from it. Are you pleasing God in your fruit bearing? Are you pleasing God in your fruit bearing? How many people are at church on Sunday because of you? How many people come to church over the course of the past month or two or three? How many came to church because of you? And then from that point, how many did you take an effort to not only get them here, but to get somebody to get them the gospel? How many did you do? Were you responsible for? Fruitfulness pleases God. Like I said, we're not questioning God's love, are we? What we're examining is my life pleasing to my God? Remember, He's worthy. He's worthy. You should live. As His child, you should live to please God. And I'm telling you tonight some things that please Him. Your faith pleases Him. Your faithfulness pleases Him. And your fruitfulness is pleasing to God. John 15:8, I mentioned, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Because fruitfulness speaks to, A, your preparation. I know you think you're just going to go through your daily routine and somebody's just going to come up to you and fall down at your feet and say, "Sir or ma'am, what must I do to be saved?" No, you understand, you let your light so shine before men that they can see your good works. They know there's something different about you and that they may approach you and provide for you an opportunity, but it's your preparation that's able to meet that opportunity. You've studied. Hey, how many of you know the Romans Road? And I know we should not get locked into some sort of plan like that. However, there's nothing wrong with starting somewhere. Amen. We're all sinners. We deserve to go to hell for our sin, but God loved us so much, He sent His Son to die for our sin, that if you by faith would receive Him, how much preparation have you put into learning the gospel message? Amen. Preparation. It glorifies God because it doesn't just happen. You prepared for it. The reason why many of you don't have any fruits is because you don't prepare for it. Letter B, not only does it show, it speaks to your preparation, but it speaks to your participation. To your participation. I know God wants people to be saved more than we want them to be saved. But I declare, it seems like God will put somebody in your path. And it's like they've got to twist your arm, slam you on the ground, get in your face, and beg you to give them the gospel message, if you're ever to give it to them. We don't want to pick no green fruit. Maybe you've got that mindset. Shame on you. Most people don't, but some may. If they're going to get saved, they'll just get saved on their own. No, they'll go to hell. Maybe God has you there to give them the gospel, and by you being a non-participant in the gospel message, you could be the one to send them to hell because you weren't what you were supposed to be. Listen, I'm not trying to shame anybody in this regard. I'm telling you that's the truth of God's Word. How many people have you sent to hell? Because of a lack of preparation and a lack of participation. Letter C, fruitfulness speaks to your persistence. Bearing fruit's not easy. Paul spoke of it as a travail. Brother Bruce, I know he has Bible studies on Saturday night. I guarantee you sometimes he doesn't feel like doing that. I know he loves to talk about the Lord and loves teaching the Word of God, but I know that spirit that God's that spirit that lives in him lives in a body of flesh, amen? As it does for all of us. But a persistence. You plant a garden, man, you don't just till the ground and throw some seeds out there, walk off and leave it alone. If you're going to bear fruit, you have to go out there daily. Daily. Water it. Keep the weeds back. Sometimes you got to build a fence around. You got to put a net over. You've got to do all these things to care for that garden if you expect to have any fruit. And that be a fruitful child of God. It pleases God because A, it speaks to your preparation. B, it speaks to your participation. C, it speaks to your persistence. Stand at it. And then D, it speaks to your persuasion of the lost. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, Paul said. When the Bible says, the fruit of the righteous tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Wise. It takes wisdom to be able to handle God's Word, to get that gospel message across. It doesn't take, you know, I made light about learning the gospel, the Romans Road a moment ago. But wisdom recognizes the fact that you need to do that, and your persuasion, taking that and learning the background of individuals. Where'd they come from? what illustrations might work, what passages of God's Word may work. You've learned that. You've been persistent. You participated. You prepared yourself. Now you learn to persuade the lost. Now, I promise you, that pleases the Father. That pleases the Father. And number four, fervency pleases God. Being on fire for God pleases Him. Being on fire for God pleases Him. A lot of Christians today, they're not on fire for God. They're saved, they're going through the motions, but they've left, like the church at Ephesus, they've left that first love. Their fire's gone out, it's dwindled way down, and they need that fire back up because that fire of God, that fervency, pleases God. Pleases God. In 2 Kings chapter number 10, it's there that we read of Jehu as he approached Jonadab and invites him up into his chariot. And he says to him, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." I love it. I love it. By the way, it's that Jehu who in just a chapter or two later goes into the city there. And a certain lady asked him the question that's on the back of your bulletin, "Had Zimri peace who slew his master?" Jehu said, "Who's on the Lord's side? Who?" And they took two eunuchs, took Jezebel, threw her out of the window, and the dogs came and ate up her body. That was Jehu. That was some of that zeal that he invited Jonadab to come along and see. Fervency for the Lord. Zealous. We need to have a love of God. We need to have a zealous labor for God. We ought to have a zealous light to God. We ought to have zealous lips speaking about God. Fervency pleases God. Fervency pleases God. Number five, our favor of God pleases Him. Look in Psalm chapter 69. Psalm chapter 69. You know, God enjoys it. God enjoys you enjoying Him. God loves it when you love Him. Our favor toward God pleases our God. In Psalm chapter 69, verse number 30, the Bible says, "I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify Him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord. Better than an ox or bullock that hath horns and hooves." Our favor toward Him, our love, our praise. When I read these words, I think about the fact that it speaks of contentment. Contentment, verse 29, notice the situation. "But I am poor and sorrowful." I'm poor and sorrowful. "Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. In my poor and in my sorrowful condition, I'll praise the name of God with a song." Contentment. That pleases God. You know, so many times our love of God is measured by how good things are going in our life. When the bad things come along, our love for God begins to dwell. But how about in the midst of the most horrible times that maybe you face? In that time, have a song in your heart to a God that you know loves you and cares for you. Contentment. Speaks of, letter B, praising Him openly. Verse 30. He said, "I'll have a song. I will magnify Him." I'm sorry, back up. "I will praise the name of God with a song." Openly. It speaks, letter C, of thankfulness. Again, verse 30, "I will magnify Him with thanksgiving." Thankfulness. Again, look at the situation. Poor and sorrowful. Poor and sorrowful. Anybody can serve God on the mountaintop. Anybody can be happy on the mountaintop. Anybody can shout the praises of God when they're up on the mountain, but what about when you're down in the valley? What about when things aren't going your way? What about when there's not enough money left at the end of the month? What about when you can't make your bills and you can't buy the groceries and you can't do the things that you want and you got to turn your cable television off and mess the credit up of your third-born grandchild? Amen. Who's with me? Oh, yeah, I know how that works. What about being thankful? If you can manage that, that pleases God. Oh, it pleases God. Verse 31, this also shall please the Lord. It speaks of letter D, an abiding peace. It says, hey, I know things aren't like I'd like for them to be, but you know what? I'm all right. I'm okay. God's taking care of me. Our favor of Him pleases Him. And you know, that sort of favor can only be tried in the valley. It's the only place it can be tried. Then number 6, Psalm chapter 147, where this message began. Psalm chapter 147. I like this. I love this passage here because it strengthens my resolve that men ought not wear shorts. Who's with me? Now, if you're a little boy, I guess you can go ahead and wear shorts. But men don't wear shorts. Amen? I got the Bible on it. Amen? The Bible says in verse number 10, He, this is talking about God, you know that, He delighteth not in the strength, and He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. Am I right or am I not? He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. Amen, amen, amen. Now the little boys that wear shorts, I guess that means you, because he says men. A man. Okay? So, He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man, but verse number 11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that, number 6, our fear of God pleases Him. Our fear of God pleases Him. Our fear of God. Now, again, I know God doesn't want us, I understand that. I know Brother Viviano has brought this up on occasion about how that we shouldn't go around afraid of God. That's not what we're talking about here. But a fear of God, it teaches us that He is in fact God. He is God. And we belong to Him. And when our will goes contrary to His will, we do have a reason to fear Him. And knowing that, having that sort of healthy fear of what God can do, when we go against His will, when we live disobedient lives, that's good for us. And when we have that sort of fear, that pleases Him because of what that results in. I wrote down some things. Letter A, a healthy fear of God will help us, A, regard Him. Maybe I come up against a temptation in my life and I may want to do what I want to do versus what God would have me do. But if I've got a fear of God, I have a constant regard of His direction in my life. Letter B, a healthy fear of God will help us to revere Him. Set Him as holy and revered in our life, that what He thinks matters enough that it can change my mind. A healthy fear of God will, letter C, cause us to remember Him. Like I mentioned earlier, kind of a little bit the same thing as far as regarding Him, but in certain times, in certain areas of our life, we may find ourselves, if we have a fear of God, something may come up, a place of temptation, a decision to be made, an action that we're going to commit, and remembering that He's God and we're His child, that'll help us do the right thing. It'll help us, letter D, to repent before Him when we get out of His will. A fear of God will help us, letter D, rely on Him. And a healthy fear of God will help us to, letter F, rest in Him. Amen. The Bible says there in that passage, Psalm 147, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. Notice verse 13. For, this is why we're going to praise Him. We feared Him, and so we can praise Him. For He hath strengthened the bars of thy gates and hath blessed thy children within thee. Why? Because it pleases God when we have a good, healthy fear of Him. Regarding Him, revering Him, remembering Him, repenting before Him, relying on Him, and resting in Him. We should all consider the message today. Whether our lives are centered around pleasing God. When's the last time you examined yourself as far as your desire to please God? Are you living a life that's pleasing based on these things that I mentioned? Our faith pleases Him. Our faithfulness pleases Him. Our fruitfulness pleases Him. Our fervency pleases Him. Our favor of Him pleases Him. Our fear of Him pleases Him. These are some things that we see from His holy word that He says will please Him. As His child, I want to do everything I can to please my Heavenly Father. As pastor, I want our church to be a church that lives to please our Heavenly Father. And I hope you have a desire to live a life that's lived to please your Heavenly Father. If you do that, you'll be the rewarder. You'll end up being rewarded for it. And remember, not only is He worthy, but He's wealthy. And you'll get the blessing in return. Let's stand together, our heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you're involved in